There's no such thing as an unimportant choice. And here's Skip Heitzig to explain why that is.
Our decisions are always important. Our choices, the choices that we make, need to be weighed heavily, because we might live with the ramifications for a long time. Choices like where I'm going to live, what kind of a culture and an environment I will raise my children in. These kinds of choices, Lot made the wrong ones, and he lived for generations to see the negative ramifications.
Make the connection. Study the Word of God and find the way into His love. And take the time to read, for Jesus took the time to bleed for our sins.
Back in 2009, a movie was released that took the idea that the Mayan calendar predicts the end of the world in 2012 and showed us what that might look like in a special effects-filled disaster movie extravaganza. Well, despite the fact that 2012 wasn't really a good movie, it still made over $160 million at the box office. Why? People can't look away from disasters. In movies, they entertain and thrill us. And in real life, like last year's devastating quake and tsunami in Japan, they fascinate and horrify us. We just can't see to look away. And that's nothing new. People couldn't look away from the destruction of Sodom either. But that had terrible consequences. We'll find out why with Skip Heitzig today on The Connection. But first, we have some free stuff for you. If you've never taken the time to call or write us here at The Connection, we'd love to hear from you. In fact, we'll even send you a free teaching from Skip if you do so for the first time today. Just call 1-800-922-1888 or write us at The Connection. That's P.O. Box 95707, Albuquerque, New Mexico, 87199. Mention it's your first time to do so, and we'll send you a free teaching from Skip called Gold, Silver, or Bronze. You know, from rubbernecking on the road to obsessively watching the news to going to have some fun at the movies, people are drawn to disasters for whatever reason. However, although it may be hard to do, sometimes the best thing to do is to look away. We'll learn why that is in just a moment, so stay with us.
And make the connection at the foot of the cross. And study the Word of God and find the way into His love. Make the connection.
We continue today in Genesis chapter 19, so find that spot in your Bible, and let's join Skip Heitzig for today's study.
Then the men said to Lot, "Have you anyone else here? Son-in-law, your sons, your daughters, whomever you have in the city, take them out of this place, for we will destroy this place, because the outcry against them has grown great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord has sent us to destroy it." So Lot went out, spoke to his sons-in-law, who had married his daughters, evidently the daughters that had not known a man. This is different ones, obviously, and said, "Get up, get out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city." Watch this. But to his sons-in-law, he seemed to be joking. Now, why would they take what Lot said as a joke? Probably because they'd been around Lot. They'd seen his lifestyle. He wasn't like Mr. Jesus God guy. And suddenly he's talking about God's judgment and the angels of God. And they're going, what's up with you, buddy? Seemed like a joke to them. When the morning dawned, the angels urged Lot to hurry, saying, "Arise, take your wife, your two daughters who are here, lest you be consumed in the punishment of the city." And while he lingered, who would linger in the face of that? Lot. The men took hold of his hand and his wife's hand and the hands of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful to him, and they brought him out and set him outside the city. It's like, you know, get out of Dodge, dude. And they're just going, "What are you doing?" So he has to force him out of the city. And it came to pass when they had brought them outside, He said, escape for your life. Do not look behind you, nor stay anywhere in the plain. Escape to the mountains, lest you be destroyed. Watch this. And Lot said to them, please, no, my lords. Indeed, now your servant has found favor in your sight. I guess he's assuming that. And you have increased your mercy, and you have shown that you have shown me by saving my life. But I cannot escape to the mountains, lest some evil overtake me and I die. See now, this city is near enough to flee to. It's a little one. Please let me escape there. Is it not a little one? And my soul shall live. And he said to him, see, I have favored you concerning this thing also, in that I will not overthrow this city. That's the city that he wanted to go to, for which you have spoken. Hurry, escape there, for I cannot do anything until you arrive there. Therefore, the name of the city was called Little Zoar. The sun had risen upon the earth when Lot entered Zoar. It's interesting that Lot thought, no, I can't go to the mountains. There were plenty of caves in the area, still are. I got to be in a city. You know, he had become so accustomed to city life. He'd been a long time since he's been out in the tent with Abraham. He didn't want to go up into the and rough it in the mountains. Of course, he didn't have any idea of what kind of judgment was coming. But he went over to Zoar. But did you see that in verse 22? Hurry and escape, for I cannot do anything until you arrive there. Therefore, the name of the city was called Zoar. The sun had risen upon the earth when Lot entered Zoar. Then the Lord rained brimstone and fire on Sodom and Gomorrah from the Lord out of the heavens. Did you notice that God made a difference between Lot and the people of Sodom? The New Testament calls Lot righteous. In a comparative way, he was better than the people who lived in Sodom. He was a believer, a carnal believer. But the angel said, I can't do anything till you're out of there and you're in a safe place. So here's the principle. When God judges, he makes a difference between the ungodly and the godly. That's a principle. It's a principle found throughout the Bible. When it came to the flood, did God just indiscriminately destroy the world, or did he save a group of 8 people on an ark? That's what he did. In fact, he, get the symbolism, lifted them off the earth and preserved them. And then God judged the earth with the flood. In the book of Joshua, chapter 10, hailstones come from heaven on the Amorites and destroy the enemies of God. God makes a difference. In Ezekiel chapter 9, same principle. An angel of the Lord with a writer's inkhorn is told to go throughout the city of Jerusalem and place a mark on the foreheads of the people who cry and sigh because of the sins and the wickedness of Jerusalem. God says, I'm about to destroy this city, but I want to save those people who care and are crying out and praying for this city. In Revelation chapter 7, a mark is put on the foreheads of 144,000 Jewish believers who are kept safe and huddled during the tribulation upon the earth. And I submit to you that the rapture of the church, following the character of God throughout the Bible, will be of the same ilk. That the reason we hold to a pre-tribulation rapture is because it is God's character to not destroy the righteous with the wicked. Now people will say, well, you know, Jesus said in the world, you will have tribulation. Exactly my point. And there's a huge difference between the tribulation that comes from the world, from the devil as its source, and the great tribulation that will come from the hand of God. Now let me, I'll do it. Let me read to you out of 2 Peter chapter 2. Listen to this. Don't have to turn there. For if God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them to chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment, and did not spare the ancient world, but saved Noah, one of 8 people, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood on the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemning them to destruction, making them an example to those who afterward would live ungodly, and delivered righteous Lot, who was oppressed by the filthy conduct of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them tormented his righteous soul from day to day by seeing and hearing their lawless deeds. Now listen to this. Here it is. Then the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust under punishment for that great day of judgment. When God judges, he makes a difference. And Jesus talked about the Great Tribulation as being the worst time in human history. And I submit to you that just as God always made a difference in judgment, he will do it again in that period of time. Verse 25. So he overthrew those cities, all the plain and the inhabitants of the cities, and what grew on the ground. But his wife looked back behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. The idea of looking back is a longing, wistful, hankering. J. Vernon McGee in his commentary says that Mrs. Lot was part of the country club, the sewing club, and the Shakespeare club. I don't know where he got that from, but if you've ever heard him, it's just classic McGee. She missed it. She longed for it. Her roots were in Sodom. And Abraham went early in the morning to the place where he had stood before the Lord. And he looked toward Sodom and Gomorrah and toward the land of the plain. And he saw and behold the smoke of the land which went up like the smoke of a furnace. And it came to pass when God destroyed the cities of the plain that God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow when he overthrew the cities in which Lot had dwelt. So he did it for Abraham's sake. That's why the angel was insistent. Abraham, back in chapter 18, remember the conversation? Would you spare it for 50, 40, etc.? When Abraham went to bed that night, he probably thought, I can rest secure. The city will not be destroyed because I had that conversation with the Lord, got him down to 10. If he finds 10 people, surely there's going to be 10 people in the city. He looks out and sees smoke rising the next morning and he thinks, uh-oh. I was wrong. I slept easy for the wrong reason. God destroyed it. And what he finds out is God delivered those who comparatively were more righteous, that is Lot and his family, took them out of the city, and he destroyed the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. There's a researcher, archaeological researcher, scholar named Dr. Melvin Kyle, who says because of what we find in that area of Israel, in that area of the plain, in the Dead Sea region, we find salt deposits. We find bitumen, which is a liquid, viscous liquid hydrocarbons like tar, the kind of stuff you pour on the roads. Because we find deposits of that everywhere, he says that he believes that the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah, God did this, that there was a break in the earth's strata. There was a subterranean pool of oily material underneath that whole surface of the plain, and that something ignited it, maybe lightning. God could have used lightning, fire from heaven. The Bible often refers to lightning. Could have struck it, exploded it, and he said it is possible that the entire floor of the valley was lifted up off of the earth, that the earth, the strata separated, the upper strata separated, sending this material sky high and then raining down. And Mrs. Lot could have been the victim of salt deposits, sulfurs that encrusted and encased her, and she was just instantly killed by it. I don't know. I wasn't there. Just taking what it says here. Then Lot went up out of Zoar and dwelt in the mountains. He goes, no, wait a minute. What do you mean he left Zoar and dwelt in the mountains? He was begging not to go to the mountains, and he says, can I go to that little city? Okay, go. And now he goes, I'm leaving. I'm going to go to the mountains. Crazy. And his two daughters were with him, for he was afraid to dwell in Zoar. If I had time, I'd get into that, but don't have time. And he and his two daughters dwelt in a cave. Now the firstborn said to the younger, "Our father is old, and there is no man on the earth to come into us, as is the custom of all the earth. Come, let us make our father drink wine, and we will lie with him, that we may preserve the lineage of our father." So they made their father drink wine that night, and the firstborn went in and lay with her father. And he did not know when she lay down or when she arose. He was sauced. He was drunk. It happened on the next day that the firstborn said to the younger, "Indeed, I lay with my father last night. Let us make him drink wine tonight also. You go in and lie with him, that we may preserve the lineage of our father." Lot was able to take his daughters out of Sodom, but not take Sodom out of his daughters. That moral compass is awry in their own lives. Now, some people in reading this have said, well, you know, it was a desperate situation for them, and it was the custom to prolong seed. Oh, really? If it was so customary and they saw nothing wrong with it, why'd they get him drunk? They knew they had to get this guy in an altered state of consciousness to get him to do this. And he didn't even know it happened. And they made their father drink wine that night also. And the younger arose and lay with him, and he did not know when she lay down or when she arose. Thus, both the daughters of Lot were with child. He got them pregnant. The firstborn bore a son and called his name Moab. He is the father of the Moabites to this day. And the younger, she also bore a son and called his name Ben-Ammi. He is the father of the people of Ammon to this day. So this incestuous relationship, it's so sad. The Bible is so honest about those that it writes about. Even its heroes, it tells us the good and the bad. This is really, really bad. Now, the Moabites and the Ammonites, three important truths. Number one, they became archenemies of Israel. So this will hurt the lineage of Abraham for generations to come. Number two, one of the gods they worshiped was Molech. Keep that in mind. You'll read about that in the Old Testament. Number three, out of this same region came probably the greatest carnal seduction in Israel's history in Numbers chapter 25 at Baal Peor, when Balaam has the people go down into the camp of Israel and seduce them to commit sexual immorality in mass so that God judges that country. Two lessons I leave you with tonight. Two stark lessons out of this chapter. Number one, our decisions are always important. Our choices, the choices that we make, need to be weighed heavily, because we might live with the ramifications for a long time. Choices like where I'm going to live, what kind of a culture and an environment I will raise my children in. These kinds of choices, Lot made the wrong ones, and he lived for generations to see the negative ramifications. Now, I know the New Testament calls him a righteous man, and I'm willing to live with that. It's biblical. But you know, it's possible to have a saved soul and a lost life. I know people, they have a ticket to heaven, they trust in Christ, but their life doesn't really amount to much. They go through their life, they have a ticket to heaven, they have a saved soul, but their life, their influence is lost. That was Lot. Abraham had a saved soul and a saved life. Lot had a saved soul and a lost life. So number one, our choices are always important. Our decisions are always important. Lesson number two, God's actions are always right. Chapter 18, verse 25, "Shall not the judge of the earth do right? You betcha. He will always do right." And even when God judges, he is acting rightly, righteously. Now, I mentioned, and we saw at the beginning, that Jesus used the judgment of Sodom and Gomorrah as something typical of the future judgment. Don't have time to turn to it, but in 2 Peter, the Bible talks about the earth being dissolved and melting with fervent heat. So what happened in Sodom is going to happen to the entire earth. This earth is going to be destroyed at some point in the future, totally destroyed by fire. God will create a new heaven and a new earth. The judgment is coming. You don't have to go through it. It all depends on where you're standing. In the days when people were settling from the east and moving across the plains and toward the west, and there were the homestead laws where people could carve out a piece of land and just settle there. One group in a wagon train was coming across the plains, and suddenly they looked up from their camp and they saw an entire wall of fire coming toward them. Evidently, lightning had struck in the mountains, it ignited the plains, and it was as if the world of fire was coming to destroy them. One of the pioneers was a quick thinker, and he quickly took a match and lit and burned all of the grass in a large area around the camp. And then he told everybody to get inside that circle. And as the fire got closer and closer and closer, one of the little girls in the camp cried out. She says, "We're all going to be burned up." And the man said, "Sweetheart, you don't have to worry. We're not going to be burned up. We're standing where the fire already was. It can't get here any longer. There's nothing to burn up around here." And they were safe, of course. If you're in Christ, you're standing where the fire already was. If you're in Christ, you're standing where the judgment already was. If you're standing outside of Christ, you're standing in the direct line of where the judgment is coming. You just read the book of Revelation. It's all laid out. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the scripture and the wonderful times we have together to study it like this, line upon line, verse by verse, to probe deeply and to apply directly to our lives and our generation. Thank you for Christ. If any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away, all things become new. As Jesus said, whoever believes in him would not come into judgment, but passes from death into life. Thank you, Lord, that because of Jesus, we're standing where the judgment has already been. It's been upon him, upon his back, upon his body at the cross, when you laid upon him the sins of the world. But I pray, Lord, if anybody tonight is not in Christ, that they would move by your gracious pulling and by your Holy Spirit to be in Christ tonight.
So, where are you standing? Are you standing with Christ who paid the price for your judgment? Or are you standing on your own under some sort of misguided idea that you don't need any help? If you'd like to talk with someone about what it means to stand with Christ and what it means to have Jesus take your judgment for you, we'd sure be happy to talk with you about that. Just give us a call at 1-800-922-1888. Or you can learn more when you click on the Know God link at connectionradio.org. And that's all the time we have for today. But for some in-depth instruction from the New Testament book of James, here's how you can get the latest study from Skip's wife, Lenya.
When you go to the pool or beach during the summer, it doesn't do much good to inflate that inner tube if you aren't going to get into the water. It also doesn't make much sense to go to church each week and learn about having faith in God if you aren't going to put that faith to work in daily life. Live Faithfully is a study through the book of James that teaches the practical applications of the Christian faith. Lenya Heitzig and Penny Rose explore how James encourages us to put what we learn in church to practical use every day. Get a copy of Live Faithfully for just $10 when you call 1-800-922-1888 or when you visit connectionradio.org. Sunscreen only helps in the summer sun when you put it on. And the same is true of faith, no matter what season it may be. Learn how practical faith can be. Get Live Faithfully for the special price of just $10 when you call 1-800-922-1888.
And if you'd like a copy of today's study in Genesis 19, we'd be happy to send you one. And all you need to do is call us at 1-800-922-1888. We'll send it to you for just $6. Or you could also order online at connectionradio.org. Of course, anything you share above that suggested amount will help us continue these daily broadcasts, not just for you, but for people all around the world. so pray about it. And if you can share a one-time donation or would like to become a monthly supporter, just call us at 1-800-922-1888 or write us at The Connection. That's P.O. Box 95707, Albuquerque, New Mexico, 87199.
And make the connection.
Have you ever made the same mistake more than once? Well, you're not the only one. Find out more next time. The Connection is a presentation of Connection Communications, connecting you to God's never-changing truth in ever-changing times.